right, guys, welcome back to the Earn Your Leisure podcast, episode 18.
18, dang, really?
Yeah, no, 18 already? Yeah, wow. Just listened to 15 this morning. I'm still on 15, actually.
Yeah, time flies. So we are fresh off of our LA trip.
Ooh, shout out to LA.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later on. We had a good time out there. Shout out to California. We got a lot of love out there.
Yeah, man, it was overwhelming to see people come out. Like I said, like we didn't know anyone in LA, and we left with a family of people that are with us. So that's dope.
Yeah, we're going to detail. We're going to detail that at the end. Well, we got a very special episode today. One of the biggest requests that we have been getting for a very long time is credit. You know, I'm a financial advisor, and people ask me about credit all the time. And not something that I really specialize in. So we had to cover credit. Like, you can't have a financial podcast and not cover credit, right?
It affects us all.
Yeah, it's mandatory. So, you know.
It's the moving vehicle for any financials you do these days, man. Yeah. Anything you do, it's the moving vehicle.
Yeah. So when we, you know, we were talking about credit, you know, we had to get a specialist in. So that's what we did. We got Andy Succo, who is a specialist, guru, whatever you want to call it, in the credit industry. He's worked with a lot of celebrities, been on the radio, and more importantly, he works with regular everyday people and helps them improve their credit. So first and foremost, thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. I love it. Nah, feel energy. It's different when you're listening and when you're here. Like, all right.
Yeah,
it's going to be dope.
Nah, for sure. So we are going to cover a broad range of different topics today. We're going to answer a lot of questions that we got on Instagram. And hopefully, you know, we're going to provide some very, very valuable information when it comes to credit, because as our merch,
everything.
Cream.
Credit rules everything. 94, it was cream. It was cash rules everything around me. But we're in 2019 right now, so now it's credit rules everything around me, right?
Sure.
So that's the age that we're in right now. So before we start, we're going to tell some personal stories. If you listen to the podcast, you know, we like to actually get real personal about, you know, stuff. And it's not just like telling things third person. We actually let you in on our personal lives. So me and Troy both have credit stories. So Troy, you want to start off with a credit story?
Yeah, man. And I think it's well documented, the process of me getting this home when we were talking about the appraisal. And that was the first step. But before we could even get to the appraisal process, mm-hmm. I had to get approved for a loan.
Okay.
And
the scary part?
It was scary. And I was working with a friend of mine.
Okay.
And, you know, I was pretty familiar with the three bureaus, you know, mm-hmm. Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And I looked at my score. You know, I had used Credit Karma.
I
started with them, the famous Credit Karma. You know, it was for free. And then I actually paid.
One thing.
Yeah.
Nothing's free in this country.
Fact. So I paid the service because, you know, I'm trying to get a loan. I need to be serious about this. I paid TransUnion. I paid all three bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked all right. You know, I had like a 695 average. Not great, but it qualifies as good. And in order to get the loan, I had to have a 650 score. So I'm like, great. I tell my boy, run the credit. It's good. He was worried about the inquiries. I'm like, it's good. I checked them. I paid. We're good. He calls me and he says, we got a problem. And I'm like, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. He's like, your score is a 525. And I'm like, first reaction was like, nah, this is identity theft. Right. This has to be identity theft. Like, nah, this is not me. Like, he was like, all right, look, give me your social again. We're going to run it again. But I, you know, the inquiries are starting to add up. I'm like, no, run it again. That's not me. I'm looking at my scores. I text him. He's like, I'm not sure what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the report, and I saw some things that were there. One being the United States Department of Education. They had a loan on there that, you know, I was like, this doesn't even make sense. You know, I had Sallie Mae, now it's Navient, it combined, it consolidated. But they didn't close it.
Gotcha.
So it looked like I had some
two loans.
Yeah, I had two loans.
Which raised your DTI too.
Exactly. My debt to ratio, my debt ratio was high. So I got that knocked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking other things. I started educating myself. And one of the things I was looking at was like, wait, they have credit cards on there, but that's not mine. I'm just an authorized user for that card. Mm-hmm. So that debt was added onto it. And then I looked and I was like, you know what? Why are we seeing both two different scores? And then it hit us. My mortgage broker and myself, we were like, oh, they're using your FICO score.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh? Like, what? We have three bureaus and they're using a different score.
Okay.
He's like, you're using your FICO score. So then I was like, all right, well, what's that? I had to educate myself again, paid again. So I became a member of myfico.com.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, was like, I saw the 525. I'm like, no, this is really me.
Correct.
This is really me. And, it opened my eyes because I was like, wait, there's different type of FICO scores, right? There's like a 1, 2, up to, what you say, is it 9?
Vantage, we're on Vantage 10 right now.
Vantage 10. So like.
So Experian uses Vantage 10.
Right. So each bureau uses something different. And right. I was just like, all right, this is crazy. Now, like, I'm just crazy. So I keep going. I'm digging. I'm like, I have, this is a time sensitive, right? This housing deal has to get done within 2 months. There's a lot of dominoes that will fall. Like if I don't get the loan, then, you know, my brother can't move, then we can't have the house. So I started digging deeper. I see like my utilization rate, which is how much money you're using from a credit card. And at the time I had a Best Buy card. It wasn't nothing crazy, $1,000, but I had used 800. I had bought like a new TV. Okay. So like that's 80% of the card. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to pay that off. So I did. I paid it off. But on top of it, I was like, I know we're in time sensitive. So I said, I'm going to call Best Buy, the customer service. I'm going to speak to their debt department. I'm like, listen.
The credit report department.
I'm like, look, when do you guys report to the bureaus? Mm-hmm. Like, I was just bold like that. Like, when do you report? And they're like, we usually don't do that. And the lady was like open. She was like, you know what? I understand the circumstance. I'll help you out.
Right.
We report on the 21st. So I was like, bet. I'm going to have this paid by the 10th, and I need you guys to report it by the 15th. They were like, we'll do it for you because we understand the circumstance. I went to my next card. I was like, I had a Macy's card, only $500, but I used $400 for a suit. So my utilization rate, like 90%. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pay that one down. Boom, did it. And they were like, all right, cool. I'm like, when do you report? And they were like, the 6th of every month.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, well, we're at the 4th. Perfect. They sent theirs in. I got it in time, right? So like in a month, like maybe a month and a half, I went from like a 525 to like a 700. Just because I educated myself on it and was relentless. Like I was on the phone every day with the credit department, the credit bureaus. I was on the phone with the Department of Ed. Like at one point, I wish I recorded the conversation, that one of the customer service women was like, thank you. I was giving her information that she didn't know. Because like that's how well I had like studied. And I was like, you know what? Pretty much like my family's like generational wealth is on the line if I don't get this credit score. And by the grace of God, man, we got it done.
Nice.
So it was beautiful. But like there were a lot of people like, hey, you should pay for this service. And I was like, for what, man? Like, you know, I don't have the time. Like usually they tell you it's like 5 to 6 months and we can change your score. We can get it. I'm like, I got 30 days.
You know, I mean, interesting story. It's a good story, actually. I don't mean to cut into Rashad's story, but a lot of that, what you said, is things people need to know is maintenance on your credit. That's things you can do on your own.
Right.
You know? DTI, debt utilization, keep your debt 30%. Low debt, high score. High debt, low score, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that more.
But. Yeah. So, I mean, it's crazy that you was able to raise your credit score 150.
That doesn't really happen. Yeah, 150. It doesn't happen. Yeah, it was crazy.
But it was, if not, you wouldn't have had a home.
Right. And like the thing is, like my friends got to watch this happen. So like I mean, it's well documented. Like I told when Rashad came up with the idea, like, yo, you should do this house, I was like, great. All right, my credit score is good. No, it wasn't. Right. Like quickly found out, no, it wasn't. But and that it's important too. Like so that FICO score, like I was able to get a car because my the FICO score that they would use was like maybe FICO 4.
Right.
So that was for car lending.
Correct.
I was able to get a car.
Correct.
I was able to get credit cards because they use FICO 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if I wanted a home,
yeah.
I wasn't good. And that's something I don't think people really know, man.
Yeah, the whole Vantage system, how it works. You see the things with each credit bureaus? They create their own score off of the data that's reported to them.
Mm-hmm.
So not every bank reports to all three bureaus. That's why one score is going to be higher than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But then for the real data for mortgages, that's my FICO because it's giving you the overall picture in one snapshot.
Right. So that's important. So like if you're trying to get a home, make sure you check your FICO score.
And don't wait till the last minute.
Don't wait. Yeah.
You gotta know beforehand. So my story is a little less. So me and Troy have a good dynamic because Troy's like a real, he's like a good guy.
You know what I'm saying?
Like,
that's not a facade.
Nah. He has a model family. Like you know, he has a house and you got the whole thing. I'm a little more radical. So my story's a little bit more radical and I'm going to tell you this story, and don't try this at home.
Parental discretion is advised.
Do not try this at home. This was years ago, right? I was young, and I needed money for an investment. I needed like $30,000 for an investment, right? And at the time, I didn't really have any money like that. I had some money saved, but I didn't want to go into my savings.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, where can I get $30,000 from, right? So I tried to get a bank loan. That didn't work. And I'm like, I really don't have anybody I can borrow $30,000 from.
Right.
So I'm like, but I got to get $30,000. Mm-hmm. So at the time, I had really good credit. I still have good credit. I had really good credit. So I got cash advance from one credit card. I'm like, let me see how this works. So I got a cash advance with one credit card. It was like $2,000. So I'm like, you know what? Run it up. So I spent 2 days applying to every credit card that I can, right?
This is all facts.
And I got approved from every credit card I applied for. I got like 12 credit cards in the course of a weekend. And it was like $2,000, $5,000, $7,000. So by the end of 3 days, I had $30,000 in cash advances. What I didn't know before I did that, and a lot of people still don't know, is that so with the cash advance, well, let me back it up. It was they were all running specials that you can balance transfer. Balance transfer specials with 0% interest for like 18 months, 12 months, 24 months, right? But a lot of times people don't realize that with the balance transfers, you can actually take a cash advance. And you don't pay any interest for 18 months. Very dangerous. Because at the end of the 18 months, now all of those other months have, now you got to pay the interest for the back 18 months. So you got to be careful. That's then it's like 20% interest. But long story short, I had it all figured out. So I said, okay, look, this is a $30,000 loan that I'm going to get interest free for 18 to 24 months. If I can't flip that in 2 years, shame on me. So long story short, I leveraged myself to the tilt. And I did a very speculative investment. You won't even go into what it was, but it was highly speculative. And the results of it, I'll tell on a different podcast. But I say this to say the power of credit. I wouldn't be able to raise $30,000 in a weekend in my 20s if it wasn't for credit, right? So credit can be a very powerful tool if used properly. Like I said, I don't recommend anybody do what I did because that was extremely dangerous.
I hope did that. So you have to go through that.
But just know that there are a lot of different tactics that you can use. And you have to be careful. But it can, you know, you can make money off of it. The key is to make money with other people's money.
That's my favorite line that I think you've ever said on the podcast. It was like, powerful tool, very dangerous.
No, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. So, all right. So now we're going to go into some, we're going to chop it up and we're going to break it down. So you talked about FICO score, right? Sure. Can you just explain the FICO?
So FICO is Fair Isaac Credit Company. They're the one that creates the whole score from all three bureaus for you. They use the latest Vantage, where it'll be Vantage 10, Vantage 8 that we're using. We're in Vantage 10. They use the latest Vantage.
So what is it? What is that? Because people might not know what
so
Vantage is.
So it's the way the score is created, the data that's put into the score. So they don't pick every single, like let's say your American Express card. Certain cards they pick out and they create the score. So department, that's why I speak about department store card. They don't help your credit that much. So stay away from them. Stay into the Visa, the MasterCards, and so forth. Those are the ones that create the scores for you. And then your payment history, how much new credit you have, utilization, that's all that's calculated into it.
Okay. So, all right. So as far as like there's different factors that determine your credit score, right?
Right, correct.
What are some of the key factors that people should be aware of?
One of the major factors, and I see this on everyone's credit report, is utilization, just like you were talking about. You know, you need to keep your utilization under 30%. Once you start hitting 31, 32% of that utilization, your score drops significantly. And it takes 2 months, 2 billion cycles for it to go up unless you call the bank, like you didn't ask them just to do a courtesy for you.
Right.
A lot of people don't know how to do that, right? Or they don't know they could do that. So one of them is keep the utilization very low, 30% or below. Let's say you have 5 cards and and you, instead of putting all the charges on one card, split it across 3 cards to keep it under 30%. Your score will stay high. Second thing is increase. 6 increase a year. If you do more than that, your score drops. Each increase 2.5 points, right? And banks only give you what they see other banks give you. So if you apply for, in your scenario, if you do that now, it would have been hard for you to get all those cards, right? Because banks are tight on giving out credit. So banks only give you what they see other banks are giving you. So let's say you apply for Citibank or Chase today. You got denied. There's an inquiry there. If another bank don't see a card open up, they're not going to extend the credit to you, right? So new credit.
All right. So 30%. So if you have $10,000 in credit available, only use $3,000.
Correct.
That's pretty much in a nutshell.
Yeah. All
right.
Now, wait, one last thing also. Like if you're trying to build your score and you're in the 650, you're lingering around the 650 range, you shouldn't pay off your card in full every month. Because the bank needs to make a little bit of interest off of you to report okay on your credit report.
And you see a history.
It's, correct. Yeah. It's only until you're like a 750 or higher score, you can pay your card off in full because your score is already built.
Right.
But if you're in a 650 and you're trying to raise it, don't pay the card off in
full. Can you just explain that because that's actually the first time I'm hearing that in detail. Like, so you don't pay off the credit card in full?
Don't pay it in full every month. Like, every other month you could pay it off in full.
Why not every month?
Because the bank wouldn't report okay on the credit report. On the slot that says okay, it'll say no data.
Okay.
No data is like no credit.
Okay. Mm.
So you had to like trick the system, let them make a little bit of interest off of you. Because remember, the bank's in the business of making money, right?
Right.
And that's why they charge these interest rates.
So they want to see that you're a valued customer over a period of time.
Exactly.
Right? So if I have $1,000 and I max out $1,000 and I pay $1,000, that's not really showing anything.
Exactly. And that's not helping them because they're not making money.
Right.
So there's no incentive for them to report okay on the credit report. Yeah, they'll report you have a zero balance, but you don't have that okay, that green mark on your credit report. It says no data.
Okay.
And the only way you see that is actually from the credit report from the bureaus. Mm. You wouldn't see it on like a mortgage report or in your online report. It's when you pull the actual report from the bureaus is when you see that.
All right. So you got some framework and then you got some interesting stories from me and Troy, but now we're going to dive deep into the world of credit and we're going to hopefully drop some gems that can save you guys a lot of time and money. Yeah.
Pens and pads, get ready. All right, so now we're going to get into the part that most people aren't aware of on their credit report that are actually right. happening. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you make a late payment or you miss a payment or you miss a few, there's something that's called a derogatory.
That's correct.
Go ahead. You want to explain the impact that has and some examples of it?
Well, the derogatory section, everyone has that on a credit report, right? So when you make a late payment, and by the way, the way they report late payments these days have changed. Mm-hmm. Because back then, right after 30 days, the next day you were late. Now they give you a 30-day grace period. Oh. But if the payment is not made before 5 p.m. the 29th of the next month, then you get reported the first 30 days. That's a derogatory, right? Mm-hmm. Collections, charge-off. Let's say you had a credit card for 5-6 years. You know, you were paying it for 3-4 years. You ran into a hardship. You couldn't keep up with the payments anymore. You miss 6 months of payments. It gets charged off. That's a derogatory. Public records, mm-hmm. Lawsuits, judgments.
Do student loans fall in there as well?
Yes, absolutely. Because here's the thing about student loans. Everyone keeps deferring the student loans.
Yeah, but those right? it's
and
kind of
that's actually, you shouldn't be doing that. You should at least try to make some sort of payment plan with them because now, one, it affects your credit, your DTI, because let's say you took out $6,000, mm-hmm. you deferred it for 5 years, now your loan is $10,000.
Right.
Now you're upside down with the loan. One, two, your late payments also. They're reported on the credit report is a derogatory if you miss a late payment. So I don't suggest anyone try to put the payment in deferment for too long, but if you have to, make sure you don't have a gap where it comes out of deferment and you're supposed to make a payment and go back into deferment. Mm. You need to avoid that.
Right? Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, we covered it pretty extensively. Like, we have millions of Americans that are in student loan debt.
It's a trillion dollar industry.
Debt. And it's like, you know, the first thing is like deferment, but it only lasts 6 to 12 months, man.
Correct.
Right? And that can affect you long term, right? When it's time for you to now get the home, like student loan payment has affected you. Try to get the car, student, right? They're going to see that on that derogatory.
Because they calculate the monthly payment into your income, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, you know, you only make, I don't know, $2,000 a month or biweekly, whatever.
Yeah.
And your monthly payments are all your expense, including rent, food, whatever. Rent, bills, credit cards is $1,500. Now you add your student loans in there. Now you only have $200 left.
Right.
How are you going to get a mortgage with extra money going to come in? You know, right. So it's a debt that you really don't want to carry with you, but we have to. Right. But you want to try to at least make some kind of payment towards it.
So with the derogatories, okay. So some of the common derogatory items are late payments,
credit cards. Even I did a video about when you move out of your apartment, how to exit your apartment, your Verizon bill, your Con Edison bill, all that goes on your credit report. There's a way to shut everything off before you walk out of that apartment so it doesn't travel.
So what's the way that you do that?
So basically, make a checklist of everything that you had when you were living in that apartment. Cable, phone, water, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A week before you move out, you're supposed to call those company and let them know you're leaving to disconnect the service on this date and send you the bill. Right? A lot of people just walk out and leave everything.
Right.
The Verizon bill, cable bill, you're supposed to return those boxes. If you don't, you get charged. You're renting those boxes. You don't own them. That's a stupid way of having a debt on your credit report to mess your credit up. Right? Yeah. You can just return the boxes, pay the final bill.
Right.
Yeah. No, for sure. So, all right. So, what about
child support? Sorry about that.
Yeah.
We're going to get there.
What about tax liens?
So, tax lien shows up on your credit, but it was up to 2 years ago, they stopped reporting it, but it stays in the public record. So, let's say you're applying for a mortgage. When they pull for your mortgage report, they pull LexisNexis, your tax liens show up there. So, it can affect you from getting the mortgage, but it's not on your credit report anymore, but it stays in public record.
What's LexisNexis?
LexisNexis is a company out in Atlanta that carries all public record data for everyone.
Okay. Okay.
For all the court system, bankruptcies, everything.
So what about credit card judgments? A lot of people have credit card judgments.
Oh, man, listen, that's a good topic. And how that happens, you know, let's say you have a credit card. I go back to Chase because I deal with them every day, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you had a Chase credit card for 5 years. 3 years you paid it. After that, you went into a hardship. You couldn't pay it no more. And it went to collections. And you didn't even pay it then. Right before the statute of limitation comes to an end. Every debt has a statute of limitation. Mm-hmm. Every state has a statute of limitation. Right before the statute of limitation ends, it goes to an attorney. They pick it up and obtain a default judgment against you, renewable for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So 10 years?
10 years.
But it can be wiped off. All right. Even if you have the 10-year judgment, it can still be like wiped off before that 10 years.
Absolutely. Correct? If it's resolved. Correct. If you don't resolve it, then it can renew again.
How do you resolve it?
So you got to make an agreement with the judge, but not with the judge, with the attorney that's suing you. They could either go back to court and resolve it or resolve it over the phone. Make an agreement, say, listen, the debt's $5,000. You know, I can give you $2,000, call it a day.
All right. So
the debt has to be resolved.
Resolved. That made me think about something, because we keep it real on the show, right? So usually in our community, what happens is that you fall into hard times, you don't pay your bills, they call you, and you don't answer the phone call.
Yeah.
You try to just ignore.
That's the bad thing.
You ignore.
That's the problem.
Block the number.
But that's what
we're going to do.
That's how it turns into a judgment. Right. So that's the start of it.
All right, what's your advice for people that are doing that? Like, I always tell people, you can't avoid problems. You have to face it, right? So, and then especially credit card companies, they'll work with you.
Absolutely.
But people still mentally, I guess it's just, nobody really wants to be embarrassed, or they don't want to even kind of go through that if they know that they don't have the money to pay it. So you have, all right, you got yourself in a bad situation. You can't pay your bill. You're late on your bills. What do you do? Like, what's the best
way? So here's the thing. It's funny we're talking about this. A lot of people don't want to resolve the debt because they've been told that you don't have to pay your debt back. It's going to disappear. A lot of people, that's what a lot of people say, you know, oh, my friends, I don't got to pay it back. Is it true? Do I have to? Yes, you have to.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to answer the phone, man. Like, you can't. They'll work with you. Yeah. They're willing to work with you.
The willing to work with you part is 100% valid. Yeah. I have friends, and personally, I've done it myself. Like, I've seen my interest rate go up when I was in college to a point I was like, wait, I owe $30,000. Right. I'm 21.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I literally was listening to Hot 97, I promise you, and I heard Angie was talking about debt consolidation.
Yeah.
And I called this company.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, all right, well, we'll do it. And I did it. And like, rather than paying it 30, right, the bank is looking like, hey, can we get some money?
Right.
So I'm like, all right, we agreed to an amount. And I'm like, all right, I'll pay that off.
There's a difference between debt consolidation and debt settlement.
Yeah.
I am not into debt consolidation. I don't think anyone should do it. And I'll tell you why. Because once the debt's charged off, you have to pay something, but not the full thing. But consumers don't know that.
Right.
So they go to debt consolidating, where they make you pay the whole debt over 3 years. You kind of just paid the debt twice.
Yeah.
Well, because it went, insurance paid it, or whoever the bank resolved it, and now you pay the whole thing back again to the banks. It's once the debt's charged off, it's better to settle the debt and move on. You owe $5,000, we get that down to $1,800.
Right.
I would rather pay that and move on, because your credit's still shot.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get the card back. Right? So why even pay it twice?
Right. Yeah, I've seen people do it. Like, I've seen, like you just said, like, hey, I owe 20. Listen, I have 10.
Right.
And the bank is like, you know what? I'll take that 10 rather than have nothing from you for the next 5 years.
So here's the trick behind what Rashad was talking about. Collection agencies and attorneys do skip trace. What a skip trace is, where they pull your credit and they see that if you're paying, like,
what's it called?
Skip trace.
Skip trace?
Yeah, SKIPTRACE.
Okay.
So skip trace works like this. They want to find you. They want to see where you are to serve your judgment. They pull your credit. They see you have this address, that address, that address. That's how the marshals end up coming to your house and dropping a note off, right? So they see if you're paying any debts back. So now, let's say you're completely shot. Your score is 500. You have every single debt out there. When they do that skip trace, they know you're completely broke, or you seem to be broke.
Mm-hmm.
You have a better chance of getting a lower number on that settlement, because they'll take anything to move on and resolve it and keep it going, right? If you apply for a mortgage, they see an inquiry on there from a home mortgage company, or you're trying to buy something, you have money, everybody pops up, they want to settle, but they'll settle at a high number. And collection agencies work on commission. End of the month, you get the best number. Beginning of the month, you don't.
That's
right. So end of the month, okay, I don't want people to forget that.
Don't let that go over your head.
Explain that. End of the month,
collection agencies work on commission. It's a $15 hour job, but your job is to, you have to hit certain numbers at the end of the month. You have to hit, let's say your budget is $30,000. After that, you get commission. So that's why in the beginning of the month, let's say you had a debt for $5,000. They'll say, oh, we can only settle for $4,500, $4,000. Come down to the last 5 days of the month, that same debt for $1,800. But you can't get it off your credit report because the law states whether you pay or don't pay something, it stays on your credit report for 7 years.
Okay.
That's where my company comes in. I make your 7 years, 90 days.
Oh.
So I'm able to make your credit jump right back to 750, 800, squeaky clean. Nothing ever comes back on your credit report.
Dope.
Nice. So, all right. Credit repair.
Oh, yes.
Can you talk about that?
There's a lot. What do you want to know?
We were talking off camera. You said that there's no such thing as a credit repair.
Okay, company. So listen. Credit repair doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right? It's a scam. Right? That's why every single company. Can I call the companies out or not?
Yeah.
You don't care?
No, I mean, that's on you. It's not,
Your mom and pop company, Lexington Law, creditpair.com, Credit Saint. I want to mention someone else's name, but I don't want to.
Okay.
Anyway, they all do the same thing. Send dispute letters with no letterhead. So you got to think about that. If I'm paying you $99, you said, oh, I'm going to fix your credit. Why is only the instructions on letterhead, but not the letter you sent to the credit bureau on letterhead? Looks like I'm sending the letter. One, two, if you ever read those dispute letters, it's like your 10-year-old kid wrote it. Right? So for example, let's say Verizon. You had a Verizon bill, you had Verizon home service, cable, internet, whatever it is that you have for Verizon, right? For over a year. All of a sudden, you moved out, you didn't pay the bill, because you didn't return the box on the final bills, and you have this on your credit report. Verizon has the collection for you. They're going to write a letter. Please validate this debt. I never had this debt. Well, what did you have for the last 12 months? Because everything has a paper trail behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what a letter never works. Now the letter goes to the credit bureaus. The credit bureau sends it to the Verizon. Verizon sends back your whole statement in a digital file. Your checks that you made payments with. They even keep phone communication that you spoke to them. You spoke to us on this day. And that's all testifiable. I have it in my office. When you speak to these companies, oh, my client spoke to them on this day.
Hmm.
Right? So anyway, back to the whole credit repair thing. The letters thing doesn't work because everything has a paper trail. One, there's no such thing as fixing credit. Every consumer has a right to dispute something on their credit if they believe it was reported erroneously or inaccurately. That's your right.
So from my understanding, it's like, and correct me if I'm wrong, they write a letter or you can, everybody has the ability to write a letter to a company disputing something.
Correct.
If they don't respond to that dispute, it has to come off. Right?
That's correct. Correct.
So that's kind of what they do because they know most people aren't, they don't want to do it themselves.
Correct.
So they do it for them.
Correct. And the reason, and the other thing is that in the industry, there's something called servicing a debt and owning a debt. Let me explain that for you. I'll say it again. Servicing a debt and owning a debt. Owning a debt, there's only four companies in the industry that buys debts.
Okay.
Portfolio Recovery, Midland Funding, MCM, and Calvary Portfolio. Those four companies buy debts and they give you 30 days to resolve it. If you don't resolve it, they get a default judgment against you. Send it to an attorney, the attorney serves you, you got to show up in court, blah, blah, blah. I shouldn't say blah, blah, blah. But the second thing is servicing a debt. So let's say Verizon, come back to Verizon. RJM Acquisition is a collection agency. They don't own the debt. Verizon sent the debt to RGM for them to call you 10 times a day. They don't have the manpower to do that. So now when you send these letters, the collection agency was never supposed to be there. That's why the collection agency will come off your credit. That's all the letter does, but the debt comes back around 90 days later to another agency. So the debt is never really leaving you. So that everything has to be resolved. So back to the word of credit repair, yeah, it doesn't exist. Everyone has a right to contest something if it's not accurate on your credit report. But 9 out of 10 times, all these banks and these credit, they're so squeaky clean with their data now, like there's very minimal room for errors.
That's important, man. You got to educate yourself, right? Like rather than paying $99, you can
do it yourself.
Read for about 2 hours a day.
Correct.
And figure it out, man. It's valuable. So like you're saving your time and your money.
No, it's important. All right. Okay. So now we're going to go into our new topic, our new section.
Yeah, we got a whole new segment that we've created. We're calling it 10 for 10. So we got 10 questions. Hopefully you can give us 10 answers. And it's courtesy of Instagram, pretty much. Our followers, we laid it out there that we're going to have credit as an episode. And we got a crazy response.
There's so much to learn about this credit industry, how it works, like how credit is built, how you get approved for a credit card. Like, there's a whole knowledge base on that.
Yeah,
we're just touching like just
Yeah, so we took 10, okay. And hopefully we can get 10 answers. We got 10 questions.
We're gonna jump right into it. So, let's do it. All right, so yes, this is a new segment that we're gonna do. Hopefully we do it every show.
Yeah, or I like this.
Maybe not every show, but depending on if it's an educational show like it is right now, where we're actually bringing somebody in. Every show is an educational show, but if this is a show where we're bringing an expert in, we're gonna start a new segment called 10 for 10, right? Because as I always say, it's not our podcast, it's your podcast, it's the public's podcast,
right. And
the platform is to educate. So we're taking 10 questions from our listeners, and we're going to answer those questions, right? Yeah. And it's all on Instagram, so we'll put a post up a few days before, and we'll ask, you know, your questions, and then you guys just comment in the comment section, and then we'll pick 10 questions, and then we'll do it. So
ask the expert.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So we're going to start out with, the first question is from I_am_Asia. Shout out to her. She wants to know, how do you establish business credit?
All right, that's a good question. And this is actually a big topic, actually. So everyone seems to think that business credit, that once you register a company name and you have a website and a bank account, you have business credit. Actually, you don't have business credit. You're still PG and everything under your social. Business credit runs separately from your social. It's established on the tax ID. It has to stand alone by itself. It has to sit by itself. Mm. When you PG something, that goes on your personal credit.
PG, what's
personal that? Guarantee.
Okay.
Excuse me. It's when you PG something, it sits on your credit, on your personal credit. One, it affects your DTI, because if it's like an American Express charge card, you're swiping $30,000 a month.
Mm.
Remember, low debt, high score. That's affecting your score. And two, it makes your credit score drop, right? So business credit has to stand alone by itself on the tax ID. How do you establish it? There's a 10-step process. One, you have to be the tax ID, the bank account. You have to be registered in your newspaper, your county newspaper, under two newspapers, showing that you have your legitimate business.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have your home address as the business address, because you need three scores: Experian, Equifax, and Dun & Bradstreet. Experian and Equifax does not recognize your home address as your business address and your cell phone as a business number. That's why I tell people, get a virtual space, $199, like Regis.
Well, what about P.O. Box?
No.
Can't have P.O. Box.
Can't have a P.O. Box.
So, all right. I didn't know that. So you have, okay. So
you need a receptionist and a phone number where they can call and verify you and send mails to.
Okay. So you can't get business credit without an address?
You need a physical address.
Like separate from your
home address. Outside your home address.
Exactly. You need an office address.
That's correct. That's why I say get a Regis space. $199 is the cheapest thing, right? Because it needs to be verifiable by Experian and Equifax. Because there's three scores. Dun & Bradstreet, Experian and Equifax. You need three scores. And all three bureaus is how you build business credit.
So why is TransUnion left out of that?
They just don't use it.
Okay.
It's not heavy enough.
All right.
You know? All right. So, okay. So let's stay on that for a little bit. So you start a business. You got your LLC. You got your tax ID number.
Your bank account.
You open your bank account.
Registered in the courthouse.
Yeah.
Newspaper. Did all that.
Newspaper.
You did all that stuff. Now you, now you have to get an address.
Correct.
An address. So now we're trying to build credit for the business, right? So you get a Google number.
Yeah, right? you get a Google number.
Yeah, that's whatever. You get a number. Separate from your cell phone and get an address separate from your cell phone. Now, can the address be another, like, say, can I use my sister's address, my brother's address?
You can just use the one you live at.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. It can't be the one you live at.
So now how do you establish?
Now you have that. You need trade lines. So there's companies.
Yeah, like, talk about that. I want to talk
there's
about
companies
that.
Like Quills. There's like 10 other companies out there. I can't think of it right off the top of my head, but here's how it works. I have a whole list in my office. You reach out to them, and they give you 10. They give you trade lines. Trade lines are like loans. They'll give you like $1,000 credit limit. You have to use $50 for the next 6 months of pay on time, 50 or more. It's built just like you're billing personal credit, but it's to their vendors. So you need three vendors, if you want to get cards from like Best Buy, Office Depot, Office Max, those guys. If you want credit cards from the bank, you need six vendors. Six vendors are six trade lines, right? And you build with that for 6 months. From there, you apply for your own credit cards. Now, if you want loans out of the bank, you have to have a P&L, a profit and loss,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have a tax return in order for the bank to extend loan onto the business. Because they have to see money coming into the company and money going back out, a P&L to see that, you know, you can pay the loans back.
Okay. Okay, next question.
All right, so we got our next question from Baba Lewis III, and he asks, can you establish credit for your children?
Absolutely. At 17 or 18 years old, yeah, you could. How you do it is that you add them as an authorized user on one of your credit cards. But with that, coming back to your story,
yeah,
it has to be a clean credit. You can't have high balances. You can't have derogatories, because whatever you do will affect that person.
Yeah, I got lucky. I'm going to be honest. This is like a true story. And I think I first noticed it when Michelle pulled my credit. And I was 26, and he was like, wait, you have 23 years of credit history.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And then I realized that my parents put me on their card that they've had since 1985 or something like that. And I was like,
good history.
Oh, wow. And they've been responsible. So, like, yeah, that's dope.
It doesn't affect you.
Yeah, it doesn't affect. It affected me in a positive way.
Positive, right? Not a negative way.
Yeah,
so you can do it, but it has to be clean history.
Okay.
Right? At age 17, moving on.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so this is from Nellie Gibbs. She wants to know what the best way to repay student loans and what's the best way to handle student loan debt.
Oh, so we were talking about this earlier. So depending on the loan, if it's deferred or it's in collection, I mean, we kind of got to find out that. But anyway, the point is, if you have a bunch of student loans, everything is based off of an income. The payment plan is based off of an income base, right? So when you call a student loan, I suggest everyone create a payment plan. Like, don't keep deferring. It's not a good thing to do because it affects you from doing bigger purchases in the future. But what you do is you go to a student loan company, tell them you want to go into income-based repayment plan, and they send you a form you fill out. The trick to that is that make sure when you fill out the forms, you put that you have a lot of expenses. So the monthly payment is a low payment. And they lock you into that for a couple of years.
Mm.
And then you recertify again. But you want to put, like, you have, rent, car, daycare, whatever it is, to show that you have a lot of expenses. If not, they're going to hit you with a high monthly payment of $700 or more.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Like, I've seen that.
That's how you trick it.
Yeah. So our next question is from...
And also, next thing.
Yeah.
If you have student loans from like two different, like Sally Mae, Nelnet, and all that, you can actually have all of those loans refinanced into one loan. And I suggest everyone do that, so it's easy for you to track the payments and not making monthly payments to five different companies.
Yeah, that is 100% true, man. Like, I was, again, I have student loans. Like,
right.
The first thing what I did was like consolidate them all. So like Navient is now my carrier.
One loan, correct? Yeah.
Shout out to them. Our next question is from @flow_bella_. And her question is, what are some ways I can fix my credit herself? Like, what can she do?
So, first off, you got to pull the report and pull a real-time report. Credit Karma is not accurate. It's not detailed. If you have a mortgage lender, those are the best reports because they try and merge and they give you your whole history for when you were 17 or when you got credit to current. Once you pull that report, you're able to see all the derogatories and the issues that are holding down your credit. If it's stuff that you know that was paid off already, you can dispute it with the bureaus that had like third party collections that have that taken off.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to see the negatives on there and what debts they are. So you can put a plan to address them. If there's some debts, you can do settlements that you have to do settlements. So you can call the creditors directly and negotiate with them to make a payment plan. You could even do one account a month until you get to your end result.
And some things is 100% accurate. Like, it'll show you that you missed a car payment in 2014.
It's very detailed.
Yeah.
Very detailed.
All right. So this is a big one. This is from whocares_no1. I like that.
Me too.
So, can child support be removed from your credit? And can we talk about the effects of child support on your credit?
So, child support, it reports as a collection debt, right? Yes, it can be removed. Actually, we're the only one who could remove them. A letter cannot remove them. The problem is, if we remove them, you cannot miss a payment again. Because if you miss a payment, it'll come back on. Same thing for late payments on credit card. I want to talk about that, actually. We can remove all your late payments, but you cannot miss any late payments moving forward. If not, it will come back on your credit report because the bank reports in a batch file. All right, so child support can report. And it is a collection also. So if you're trying to buy something and your DTI is off and your numbers are off, it can affect the monthly payment that you're paying in child support can affect your approval of how much you can get approved for, if that makes sense.
All right, so our next one is from @dunn321, and he asked, when do agencies report debt balances? Is there a specific time during a month that they do it?
When he says agencies, what do you talk
about? So I'm assuming that he means, like, when does TransUnion or Experian or Equifax, is there a specific time during the month?
Well, the bureaus don't the bureaus update on the 1st to the 5th of every month, but okay. The data comes from the bank.
Okay.
Or the collection agency or the creditor does not come from the bureau.
Okay. Right?
They're the one that just house the data, yeah. And on the 1st to the 5th of every month, they update new reports.
Okay.
So your bank reports different days. Some days they report, you know, the 10th to 15th, whatever your billing cycle is.
But that's something you could find out.
Like yes. Also, to make it easy for you, if you want to make sure you're never late on your payment, you can call all your credit card companies and ask them to make your due date the same day every month. Hmm. So if you have 5 cards, you can make them, all of them, the 15th of every month.
Right.
So you know, if you're a person that keeps forgetting to make payments, you know on the 15th, every bill is due. If you can afford to do it.
Right.
Okay. Rage Against Ordinary has a question. She wants to know, after Chapter 7 bankruptcy, how long does that stay on your report?
Bankruptcy stays for 7 years. And here's the crazy thing about bankruptcy now. One, the creditors can contest the bankruptcy.
Really?
They don't have to. Like, let's say you have Bank America is notorious for this. They can contest it. They don't have to accept the bankruptcy.
Mm.
They can say, no, I don't, you know. It's, we don't want to.
Well, I didn't know that.
They can contest the bankruptcy. Two, the new bankruptcy laws, depending on what chapter you're filing, you have to pay a percentage of your debt back in court. Right? Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have to pay a percentage. And that's determined by the judge, the magistrate, or whoever's doing your bankruptcy, what your percentage is. So if you're filing bankruptcy, you got to really think about it. If you don't have like $50,000 to $100,000 worth of debt, it's not really filing bankruptcy. It's not really worth it. In my eyes, to file bankruptcy for 7 years.
That was going to be like my next kind of question off of that is like, when would it be, I guess, appropriate to file for bankruptcy, right? There's a certain amount of debt that you should
have. I mean, there's a couple qualifying scenarios. I mean, if you're not working, you know, that you can't do anything about it. You can't pay anything, right. You know. But if you are working, you have some savings. Because when you file bankruptcy, they go through all, you have to disclose all your assets, right? So, you know, if you have money in the bank, you're like, well, why can't you pay this? Knowing that the bank can contest it, not all banks have to. And that happened to me, actually, because I did it many years ago, and they contested it. Then you can't even put, you can't open an account for 3 years, a bank account, but you can't show that you have any kind of money.
Any bank account. Oh, wow.
Because they can go back and, oh, well, you have money, you know? It becomes very messy, but again, with the bankruptcy, and it's not as easy as, like, the way it was in 2010, you file it and you walk away. You got to pay a percentage back. So, you know, I think everyone should really consider, depending on the scenario, consider filing bankruptcy. It's not the best route. It is a route, but it's not the best route, depending on your situation. But it stays there for 7 years. And then you can, the other thing about that, you burn, let's say in the industry, there's prime and subprime banks. Mm-hmm. So let's say you file bankruptcy with Discover, American Express, Barclay, Chase. Once you file bankruptcy, you can't go back to do business with those guys again. They're not going to extend any credit. So now you're kind of stuck in a subprime bank, kind of rest of your life where you're paying high interest rates. Because major banks are not going to extend any kind of credit card to you.
Hmm. That's what I mean.
Interesting.
All right, our next question is from @YoungGod. He said, if I default on my business credit cards, does it show up on my personal credit?
If you PG it, yes. No. If you didn't PG it, no, it does not. If you personally guarantee it when you open it, which, I'm be honest with you, 99% of the people that said they have business credit, they're PGing everything. Because they're not going through the full steps of registering the company correctly and building it correctly. They're called, you know, if your social is going on that application, you're PGing the loan.
So you're personally guaranteed. So most people, I think that they have business credit. It's really just an extension of their own personal credit.
Absolutely.
For their business.
Correct.
But you can actually establish business credit, but you have to separately. Go through the steps of getting an office and having
those 10 steps that you were talking about.
Yeah. That's correct. That's correct.
That's important to understand, people, and especially entrepreneurs, because a lot of people don't. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. So, All right, man. So, yeah. So, that was pretty extensive as far as the 10 questions. All right. So, I hope that you guys listen, because one podcast episode is not going to be enough to fully grasp. But what we try to do here, it's never enough for anything, but we try to plant a seed, right?
Yeah.
We try to plant a seed, and then hopefully you gain information. It's like when we had Quentin on as far as talk about stocks, right? You can't learn about stocks in an hour, but you can gain enough information to now you can go on a journey of seeking information for yourself, right? And then also you have to work with professionals. That's all I always say. You can try to do things yourself, and it may not be a bad thing, but it's always good to work with professionals if you can, right? So that's why we brought Andy here, and Andy's going to give all of you guys his information. But before we do that, I want to talk about LA briefly. Yeah. So we went to LA. As I said, this is our first episode back from LA, and it was dope. We had some great interviews.
Yeah, met some great people.
And we had a networking event, and about 50 people came, maybe even more. And we fed the people. We gave them drinks. It was just a dope yeah. vibe.
Shout out to Darryl's.
We want to come. Yes, we want to come to your city. So if you have speaking engagements, if you have opportunities, if you have anything for us, feel free to DM us, feel free to email us, because we have to spread the financial literacy word to the masses. And the only way to do that is to travel. We can do that via the internet, but it's nothing like touching the people. So we want to go to Chicago. We want to go to Miami. We want to go to Toronto, Canada. We want to go to Philly. We want to go all of these different places. Atlanta, of course, we got to go to Atlanta. So Houston. But we need you guys' help. So, yeah. So, we'll talk about our Patreon later. But before we wrap it up, Andy, can you... And I just realized this, too. Is that a DC theme, Chasers?
Chasers. So,
can you just give me, like, a 30-second explanation? I didn't realize
how that happened. How that happened was that... So, you guys know Slow Bucks, CEO Slow. You guys know Mr. Ruggs in Atlanta.
Queens get the money.
you know, I did some stuff with Ruggs. 2 years ago, 3 years ago in Atlanta on his credit. He was purchasing some cars and, you know, whatever he was purchasing. I helped him out. He got introduced to me to Slow Bucks. And then, so anyway, to him, I went down to the Mr. Ruggs All White Party 1 year, hung out with him, Prime, rest in peace, Prime, Prime Time. Meek Mills, I got introduced to Meek and, you know, a bunch of guys, 2 Chainz and all of them. And then, you know, we started talking at lunch on a Sunday. Like, this is what this guy do. Here I am, a brown guy, and this guy, I don't fit in. And who's this guy, you know? Yeah. Anyways, a credit guy, whatever. I did some stuff for Meek's. You know, Meek, it's a good vibe. You know, he's like, yeah, I like this guy. It's cool, dude, whatever. So, you know, he hooked me up with the DC, you know.
Official Chaser.
Appreciate that, actually. And, you know. That's how that happened.
Okay. Well,
shout out to me.
Yes, it's very rare to have a credit specialist to have a Meek Mill chain. So for that alone, you gotta give him a shot. So can you tell the people how to contact you, your social media handles, and all the stuff
definitely,
that you got going on?
Definitely. So our website is www.y2kcreditsolutions.com. Our social media is y2k_creditsolutions.com. Phone number is 516-568-4541. We have our main locations in New York. We have satellite locations in 8 states, 2 in Canada, Toronto and Ottawa. And, you know, that's there.
Check
Google me, you know, I'm all over.
Yeah. Check them out. So, Troy, can you talk about our Patreon briefly?
Yeah, man, it's pretty overwhelming. You know, we speak about Patreon every episode, and the LA was the first time we got to actually reach out and go to see people, and a lot of that is due because of the support that we get from Patreon and other avenues. So Patreon is a way for you to financially support the podcast. We can't do any of this without you, but if you want to financially support us so that we can go to other cities and spread the word of financial literacy and other things. Like we in LA, we talked about a multitude of topics, man. We met some great people, and to see the message coming to fruition is just like amazing. I think I texted y'all from the plane, like, yo, I'm completely overwhelmed with joy right now just to see people actually responding to it that we've never met before. We had a great conversation the other day with some of our Patreon members about how they're applying what we're saying into real day like application. It was like amazing, right? We spoke to somebody who has a quadplex. A quadplex, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I listened to episode 12 and it inspired me.
Yeah, shout out to Matt.
Right. And it was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, look at the impact that we're having. So if you're not on Patreon, feel free to go. It's patreon.com/earnyourleisure. We have 5 different tiers that you can join at. There's a real basic tier. And then we have a more extensive tier where we talk to people, 3 times a month, or, you know, we have a video chat about the episode. Because some people have extended questions after that we air. So
that's a fact.
Feel free to check out Patreon out. Continue to support our merch, earnyourleisure.com. I told y'all season 2 is coming. It's on the way. We're going to be doing some dope stuff. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, and shout out to Cody. And, we spoke to him. And so we have, you know, a lot of times people want to pick our brain, right, for, like, business mentorship or investment mentorship. So we've built relationships with a lot of good people.
Some good people.
We know a few things. So, Patreon is a way to extend the dialogue. So And just, you know, like I said, just to travel, like we're in LA and we're talking to Al Harrington and he's giving us game and he's giving y'all game just from being on the podcast about, I mean, this guy's going to be a billionaire. Like it's happening. Yeah. It's going to happen. So it's very rare to have an opportunity to have an hour conversation with a future billionaire and he's just giving game.
Free.
We wouldn't have been able to do that if we didn't go to LA. So, you know, we're going to go to Atlanta, like I said, all these places. And shout out to Toronto, Canada. Can we just get a minute to talk about Toronto? Because
our favorite city.
Somebody had a question. Two people had questions about credit. And you, just like what you told me earlier, can you, because we don't want to just, we're bigger than just America, people. Mm-hmm. We have listeners all over the world. We have listeners in Africa. We have listeners in Europe. And we have listeners in Canada. Canada is one of our strongest bases in Toronto specifically. So, yeah, just a brief, because I know the credit over there works. And you work in Canada, too.
Yes,
so.
Correct. So, you know, Canada, they only use two bureaus, Equifax and TransUnion. The thing is, Canada's a little more strict with the credit because they don't have that much banks. They're very strict how they extend credit, right? And they make sure that you have collateral for everything. But what takes us 3 months to fix in the U.S. would take us 6 months to fix in Canada. It is fixable. It's just a longer process. But it is fixable. And Canada credit, like their economy is much more tighter than the U.S., you know? So it's fixable. You need us. We have an office, two offices out there, actually.
In Toronto?
And one in Toronto, Mississauga, 7111 Syntex Boulevard and Ottawa.
Yeah. So if you're in Canada, hit Andy up. He works in Canada. And we are coming to Toronto soon.
Let me know. I want to go, too. Oh. I'll be there May 22nd. Let's come out there. We'll do something.
Nah, yeah, for sure.
We can do a networking event, actually.
For sure. We can set something up, for sure.
Realtors, yeah.
So, all right. So, Andy, thank you for joining us again. Before I leave, I always have a book tip. So my book tip of this episode will be Multiple Streams of Income. It's a very, very good book. And as we always talk about, you know, you need multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. So it outlines multiple, I think it outlines 9 different streams of income. And it kind of like gives like each chapter is devoted to that different stream of income. So highly recommend the book, Multiple Streams of Income. For anybody that is seeking multiple streams of income. And thank you for rocking with us. We will see you next week. Peace.
Peace.